You know, I'm kind of a different kind of, I give a different kind of message than a lot of people, and especially Pastor Ron. Pastor Ron tends to be very compassionate and kind, and luckily for you, I've never been accused of either of those. So today's message is going to be something that I believe is uplifting. Whether you feel it's uplifting or not will depend upon your attitude. Depend upon your heart. What we're going to be talking about today is something called the resurrection and the life. That's the title of my message. Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you, Father, for the many things you have done and that you are going to do in this service, Lord. I ask, Lord, that your spirit would be here and free us all. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to take a look at the death and resurrection of a man called Lazarus. So if you want to turn with your Bibles, if you have them with you, John chapter 11. This is the story of Lazarus. It's starting with verse 1, and I'll be ending with verse 44. Now, a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany in the village of Mary and her sister Martha. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay sick, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. So the sisters sent word to Jesus, "Lord, the one you love is sick." You know, it's an interesting thing that they send for Jesus, and all they really say here is the sisters say that they sent word, and all they really said was, the one you love is sick. So my question to you is, what do you do? What do you do when the pressure's on, when the stress factor is going up, when there's a sickness or a disease attacking you or your family? What do you do? Who do you send for? You know, my wife, she homeschools my grandson, Alex, who's 7 years old. And she was trying to teach him about what do you do in emergencies. And, of course, the whole idea was to get him to say, I'm going to call 911. And so she said, you know, Alex, if you got up in the morning and you went to your mother's bedroom and she was laying there and she would not wake up, what would you do? He said, Grandma, I'd pray. Are you saying, Joel, I shouldn't call 911? No. But on the way to the telephone, huh? By the way, did you know statistically, now I've just retired from the field of anesthesia, so I know a little bit about the medical field. And I got to tell you that the American Heart Association says that if you have a cardiac arrest where your heart stops beating and you're anywhere but in the hospital, you only got a 17% chance of living. 83 out of 100 people that are brought with a cardiac arrest into the hospital will die. Only 17 will survive. You better be praying, because the odds are against you. You see, in those situations, if you send for the right person, there's hope. If you send for Jesus, there's always hope. So they sent for Jesus. And then in verse 4 it says, When he heard this, Jesus said, "The sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it." Now, Jesus loved Martha and her sister Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was 2 more days. And then he said to the disciples, "Let us go back to Judea." That absolutely makes no sense. That doesn't make any sense. They tell him, "Jesus, you see, your friend that you love is very, very sick." And so he stays 2 more days. Wait a minute. Is that the response that Mary and Martha thought they were going to get? No. They thought for sure, because he loved Lazarus, that he immediately would respond. Did Jesus make a mistake? He said something very interesting there. He said, "To glorify the Son." Let's read on. "Let us go back to Judea." "But Rabbi," they said, "a short while ago the Jews were there, tried to stone you, and yet you are going to go back?" Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours in a daylight? Anyone who walks in the daytime will not stumble, for they see by this world's light. It is when a person walks at night that they stumble, for they have no light." After he had said this, he went on to tell them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I'm going to go there to wake him up." But the disciples replied, "Lord, if he sleeps, he'll get better." Jesus had been speaking of his death, but the disciples thought he meant natural sleep. So then he told them plainly, "Lazarus is dead. And for your sake, I'm glad I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him." Then Thomas, also known as Didymus, said to the rest of the disciples, "Let us also go, that we may die with him." Now, Thomas is an interesting guy. Here Jesus just gets done telling everybody that the reason he's going to go is because Lazarus is dead. Now, that must be kind of disappointing to Mary and Martha, don't you think? Jesus didn't come. He didn't respond. Or did he? Did you know that a lot of things in life, especially for a Christian, it's not about you? If you name Jesus as your Lord and Savior, it's not about you. You have been erased. And now it's about the glory of Jesus Christ. Oh, he loves you. There's no doubt about that. Just like he loved Lazarus and the sisters. And he will be there for you, but not always the way you want. The real problem with us is that we tend to be spoiled. I've had 6 children, and I know one thing for sure. Every one of them wanted to be spoiled. Every one of them. You know how I know that? Because when I was a child, I wanted to be spoiled. Doesn't everybody on this planet want what they want when they want it? And hasn't it ramped up throughout the years that we've been on this earth? We see it coming quicker and quicker, where people are demanding to get what they want when they want it. God doesn't work that way. Because it's for his glory not yours. Thomas, he said here, because the Jews hated Jesus and they were there going to stone him before they left, and now they're going back to the very place where the Jews had just about stoned Jesus. And Thomas says something there. He said, let's just go back so that we can die with him. Now, this is the same Thomas that said, I don't believe Jesus has resurrected. When Jesus was crucified, dead and buried, and had risen, all the other disciples had experienced Christ. And they were telling Thomas, you know what? Jesus has risen and he's alive. And Thomas says something that doesn't seem too radical to me. I'm not going to believe it until I put my hands in his hands and feel the nail scars. Until I put my hand in his side and feel the wound. I'm not going to believe that. Now, why do you think he said that? Because he knew one thing. That if you were going to change your life to be a follower of Christ at that time, you were going to talk about death. People were going around killing people that believed in Jesus. They killed Jesus. You don't think there was a little bit of fear in these guys? Every one of them was scared to death because they knew they were next. They had put themselves as followers of Christ, and Thomas knew this, that if Jesus is not alive, and I say he is, I'm dead meat. But something must have happened, because if you look in history books, you'll find out that Thomas ended up, after the resurrection of Jesus Christ, he ended up going to a place called India, pagans. And he started preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ in India. And you know what they did? They ran him through with a spear and killed him. Martyred. But you know what Thomas knew? Thomas knew Jesus is alive. And everything that Jesus had said and done on this earth was the truth. Jesus had put an exclamation mark on his entire life because of his resurrection. And that made Thomas a very wise man. He believed the gospel. Not only did Thomas change, but every one of the disciples who were running and hiding all got martyred. Some of them, not a very pleasant death. Some were sawed in half. Peter was crucified upside down. Would you do that for something that you knew was a lie? No. Jesus is alive. That's the reason they could do that. Thomas said to the rest of the disciples, let us also go that we may die with him. On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now, Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she sent out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha answered, I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? Yes, Lord, she replied. I believe you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who is to come into the world. There's certain things that always intrigue me about the gospel. And that is when Jesus Christ, he says things like, I am. Here he says, I am the resurrection and the life. How is that possible? Now, if he had said, I'm going to resurrect the dead, or I'm going to resurrect Lazarus, that would have made some sense to me. And if he'd say, if you follow me, I can show you how to live better, that would have made some sense to me. But I am the resurrection and the life. That means that Jesus' very nature, that who he is he's resurrection. And he's life. If that's interpreted correctly by me, that means he can breathe life into dead things. What's in your life that you've reckoned dead? Is it a relationship between a child, your daughter, your son? Maybe you've given up on certain things. It's just too hard. It's just not worth it. I fought this for so long, and I know that this relationship should be restored. Maybe it's between your husband and wife. But you've reckoned it dead. It will never change, you've said. It can't change. It's a dead relationship. There's nothing that can change death. Nothing that can change death. After she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary aside. The teacher is here, she said, and is asking for you. When Mary heard this, she got up quickly and went to him. Now, Jesus had not yet entered the village, but still at a place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who had been with Mary in the house comforting her noticed how quickly she got up and went, they followed her, supposing she was going to the tomb to mourn. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews had come along with her, also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. Where have you laid him? He asked. Come and see, Lord, they replied. Jesus wept. A lot of commentaries on that word, that little scripture, the shortest scripture in the whole Bible, Jesus wept. What does that mean, that Jesus wept when he saw all this? Well, the people thought that he did it because he just loved Lazarus. But I don't think so. I think Jesus wept because he has so much compassion. You and I, we've done something to ourselves living this life. It's called hardening our hearts. You see, we can have a hard heart. At least I can. I get used to seeing terrible things on TV. By the way, my dad, he always said that TV was the worst thing that ever happened to mankind. He watched a lot of it, but he said it's the worst thing. And he was right, probably. Because before TV, nobody was as discontent as they are now. Nobody saw as much violence as they do now. You know, a little 5-year-old kid can see more murders than if you had lived your entire life, anyone ever really sees. I mean, how many people have ever really seen a murder? But on TV, you see it every night, right? It can harden your heart. It affects you in your heart and your mind. You just become so uncompassionate that when people are grieving, starving, hurting, Well, yeah, I see it on TV, but you know, after all, what can we do about it? Then the Jews said, see how he loved him. But some of them said, could not he who opened the eyes of the blind have kept this man from dying? Couldn't have Jesus just done something else? Couldn't he have just, if he'd have just been here? Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. Take away the stone, he said. What is in your life that comes between a resurrection of Jesus, the life of Jesus, the miracle of Jesus? Are there stones that have to be rolled away? Is there something called pride in your life that makes you not apologize and ask forgiveness of that child, of that spouse? Well, I don't have to ask of forgiveness. I didn't do anything wrong. After all, it's their fault. I didn't ask whose fault it was, did I? I said, is there something that is a stone between you and that relationship? That thing that needs to have life in it. And you refuse to roll away the stone. The hardness of that heart. You know, I recently talked to one of my daughters. I've got four daughters. I won't say which one. But they had been in a relationship, and this was when, oh, this was a while back. They had been in a relationship, and it didn't work out. You know, for a father, the biggest curse on this earth is a boyfriend. Yeah, I mean, if I could pray against boyfriends, for my girls, I would do that. And you know, I used to do things like if they come knocking on the door, I'd go grab my shotgun and start cleaning it. And the boy answered, what are you doing, sir? Oh, just cleaning my gun. I got a lot of land back here. Just gotta keep it cleaned out, you know. You never know. I don't know what I'd do if I found somebody hurt my daughter. I just don't know. Yeah, I would give him a lot of grief. But this young man had hurt my daughter, and she said something that was very interesting to me. She said, why didn't Jesus stop that relationship? Why didn't God stop that relationship? I said, are you kidding me? Give me a break. What did you want him to do? Send a Mack truck and run you over? Come on. You know you made the decision. It's your decision. You didn't seek God when you were deciding whether you should be in a relationship with this young man. Now that he hurt you, now you wish God had intervened. He won't intervene in your personal life unless you ask him. See, you can develop a stony heart toward God just because you don't get it the way you want it. There will always be people that hurt you, especially if you never ever seek God about that relationship. But the Lord, said Martha, the sister of the dead man, By this time, there's a bad odor, for he has been there for 4 days. There's some things that are dead that are past repair. Jesus, don't you know that there's things that are just past repair? Not only is this guy dead, he's been decaying. The flesh is starting to rot off him. Oh, by the way, I'm sorry, it's close to lunch. I forgot that. But it's a fact, isn't it? Dead things decay. And there's been some things in your life that you reckon dead, and now it's beyond repair. Or is it? Could it be that there still can be some life breathed in it? But it's not about a resurrection, you see. It's about the resurrection. You cannot restore that dead, dying, decaying relationship with your own self-will, with your own attitude of, I'll just fix it. Men are better at this than women, maybe, but I think a lot of people who are, you know, type A personalities, and maybe my type A is just like yours, type A, and that is that sometimes you just want to fix it. And now, let's hurry up and get this fixed, this relationship. Sit down. I'm going to tell you what exactly how to fix this relationship. I said, sit down. Now, you're going to like me if I have to beat you. Now, that will get you to like me. I know it will. Now, listen to me. You're going to like me, and I'm going to like you from now on. You got it? Yeah, Dad, I got it. You know, the Bible says that life and death. In Proverbs, it says life and death is in the tongue. Ooh. Have you spoke some death into your relationships with your wife, your child? And you wonder why it's dying? And it's because of your own tongue is killing the relationship. Something to think about. Maybe it doesn't pertain to you. Though maybe it does. Then Jesus said, did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? So they took away the stone, and Jesus looked up and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I know that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me. Then he said, Jesus called out in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and the cloth around his face. And Jesus said to them, take off the grave clothes and let him go. Jesus said three words. Lazarus, come out. And everything changed. Everything changed. Not only did it change for Lazarus, can you imagine? I bet Lazarus in paradise somewhere, on all of a sudden, Jesus says, Lazarus! And he could feel himself entering back into a body that was being renewed. All of a sudden, he went, and he could feel the heartbeat. Something was happening. Something was happening. And Jesus said, come forth. And he took that very first few steps and he realized, I'm back. I'm back. This ain't paradise anymore. Jesus said he was the resurrection and the life. If you want to restore anything that's dead in your life, any relationship, things that you have counted, it's dying, it's gone, it's dead, it can't be restored, I'm telling you, Jesus can say three words and restore it. He can change anything and everything. And for those of us who know Jesus Christ, I'll bet you that you would have to say you were resurrected. You see, it says that you have to be born again. Well, how can you be born again? First of all, that must mean you were dead. You were dead. Your past life is gone. Ah, all things are new. A resurrection happened in your life. How do I know that? Because when I was 28 years old, I had it all. If you would have looked at me at 28, you would have said, man, this guy, he's got everything a man could want. And I did. I bought a brand new car. I was out of school, anesthesia school. I was making big dollars. I won't kid you. I was. I was 28 years old, making big dollars. I had a brand new car, a brand new house. I paid cash for everything. But I walked into church because I was invited. And a guy told me up there, he was a preacher. He said that he had been a professional baseball player and that what they would do is he lived with two other guys in a very nice place and they would set a trash barrel in the middle of their living room so they could throw all their beer cans into the trash can. That way they didn't have to go to the kitchen. That way they could party all day and all night. And that he went to church with a girlfriend of his. And the only reason he went there is because she sat in the front row and he'd sit in the back row. Because he wanted this relationship with this girl to continue. And he was sitting in the back row and he was making fun of the preacher with his buddy next to him. So, look at that guy. Making fun of him. And then the preacher gave an altar call. Said, if you want to know Christ as your Savior and your Lord, I'd ask you to come forward. And again, he was nudging his buddy, making fun of him. And he said, all of a sudden, he felt something. He felt a hand on his shoulder. And he thought, uh-oh, the usher. I bet the usher. And he said, I turned around and nobody was there. He said he was driven to his knees at the front of the altar by the hand of God. See, you can mess around with a lot of things, but you can't mess with the hand of God. Right now, if you feel an urge that maybe your life isn't quite right. Maybe you've experienced something here today and you realize you need a resurrection. You need some life breathed into something that was dead. There's only one person in the whole universe that could give life. His name is Jesus. That's the reason he can say, I am the resurrection. I am the life. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you so much that you are the resurrection. You proved it. You proved it by raising Lazarus. You proved it by raising yourself. You will never taste death, Lord. You won't ever taste death because you're eternal. And you made us as eternal beings. And so we have a choice to make, Lord. We have a choice to either live our lives the way we want to, and in the end suffer hell, or live our lives the way you want us to, and not only have life eternal with you, but have a splendid life here. You said you came to give us abundant life here, Lord. Why would we refuse that? I know, Lord, it can, for some of us, it's going to take a big change, but Lord, you can help us change step by step. We thank you, Father, for everything you give us. If everyone would stand. Now, with every eye closed, and I'm just going to say, if you're here today and you don't know Jesus as a personal, I mean a personal, I know you know about him, you wouldn't be here. But if you want to know him personally as your Lord and your Savior, and you can't say if you died tonight that you know for certain that Jesus is my Lord and my Savior. If you want to know him as your Lord and Savior, if just quickly raise your hand and put it down. Up and down. Up and down. Thank you. If you would come and see me immediately after, and I will pray with you. I'm going to ask some of the deacons, and Steve and Denise, the elders, and his wife, if you'd come forward here. I'm going to have them stand here. We're going to pray for you. Randy, Kelly, if she's here. Jennifer. I don't know if there's something in your life, and you don't have to explain yourself to anybody. You can just come and say, I want you to pray for me. But if there's something, some relationship, something in your life that you have reckoned dead, and you realize that Jesus can resurrect that, he can breathe life into that relationship, into your life. Maybe you even felt so despondent and depressed today that you thought, I'm giving up. Let Jesus breathe new life into your heart. Let him roll away the stones. If you would like to have some prayer, you can just come forward now. Ask one of these guys, these ladies, to pray with you.